The Eddie B. Sit edition, an audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah has been sponsored by Mr. Sawley and Cheryl Mizrahi. Hashem Aleihem Yihyu for the Hatzlacha of both of their families, for Be'ezat Hashem, health, happiness, Parnasa, continued success, and of course, much nachat and pleasure from their children. Yiratzon, in the zechut of their dedication to the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they will be zoche for good judgment, they will be zoche for good beracha and mazal in all their endeavors. Amen. Daf Chafhe. Today's daf is being studied in Ilu Nishmat. Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fuas Shelema. Eliyahu Hayim ben Shafia Sofia. El narefanalo. El narefanalo. El narefanalo. Fata nefesh ufuata gubu. Fuatok rabadabo. Vechen yihirasom venomar.
Amen.
Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Dalet Amud Bet, right at the Mishnah on the bottom line. Matnitin. Maase Shebau Shenayim. There was this episode where two witnesses came. Ve'amru, and they testified and they said, Ra'inuhu Shahrit b'mizrach. They said, we saw the old moon in the east, and we saw the new moon in the west, which means at sunrise in the morning, we saw the old moon, and at sunset, we saw the old moon. Now, if you remember, we learned on a previous daf that between the old moon and the new moon, there's 24 hours of invisibility. And therefore, lechaura, these witnesses cannot be telling the truth if they said they saw the old moon in the morning and the new moon at night. What happened to the 24 hours? So, Amar Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri adeh sheker him. So, because of that, Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri said, they are false witnesses. Look at Rashi. Dekai malan esrim v'arba sha'em mechaseh sihara. Because we learned above on Daf Chaf that there's 24 hours of invisibility, and therefore they have to be lying. So comes the Gemara and says, comes the Mishnah and says, Kesheba'u liYavne, but when they came to the Betin in Yavne, Kibbelan Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel accepted them. We'll have to see in the Gemara how could Rabban Gamliel accept them. Seemingly they're false witnesses. We'll see the Gemara. The odd, another episode. Ba'u shenayim ve'amru. Two witnesses came and they said, Ra'inuhu bizmano. We saw the new moon in its right time, meaning on the 30th day. That's considered bizmano. At night of the 30th, we saw the moon. Ublel aburo lo nira. However, on the next night, which is on the night of the 31st, we did not see the moon. The kibbelan Rabban Gamliel. And Rabban Gamliel accepted them. Amar Bidosa bin Horkinas. They're false witnesses. Why? How could you testify on one day a lady gave birth, and the next day you see that the womb is still, or the embryo or the baby is still between her teeth? Which means she's still pregnant. So the Gemara gives an example. The Mishnah saying between her teeth, meaning she's so pregnant that it protrudes all the way out in front of her mouth, in front of her teeth. Which means, how did you tell me on one night you saw the moon? It means the moon gave birth. And then the next night you tell me it didn't appear. It means the new moon didn't come out yet. How could that be? So therefore there must be a shaker. So that was the contention of Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinas. Again, how can you give testimony on a lady that gave birth, ulmahar, and the next day, kiresa, her stomach, ben shinez, between her teeth, meaning she's very pregnant the next day. How can it be if she gave birth the day before? Ama lo Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua tells Rabbi Dosa, ro'e ani et devarecha. I agree with you. I see your words correctly, and therefore we cannot accept these witnesses. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshua wanted to say halakha. This was actually the month of Elul, we were discussing over here, meaning Rosh Hashanah. So Rabban Gamliel held that Rosh Hashanah was on the 30th, and Rabbi Yeshua said no, it was on the 31st. Because he was saying you can't accept the testimony of the night before, because they didn't see it the following night. Therefore, their testimony in the first night cannot have been true. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's an automatic. The Rosh Hashanah has to be on the second day. So we had a great machloket between the Rabban Gamliel and the Rabbi Yehoshua that year when Rosh Hashanah fell out. Hence, you're going to have a machloket when Kippur that year is going to come out. Meaning, according to the Rabbi Yehoshua, Kippur is going to come out a day later. Shalach lo Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel said to the Rabbi Yehoshua, Gozrani alecha. I am decreeing on you, Shetavo etzli b'maklecha u'b'ma'otecha b'yom ha'kippurim she'achal liyot b'hashmonecha. I'm commanding you that you must come to me on the Yom Kippur that falls out according to your calculation with your stick and with your money, which means I want you to show in public that you're going to be mehalel Yom Kippur, because Rabban Gamliel did not want to have two psak halachas here. He ruled that Yom Kippur was the day before. He didn't want that to be Yeshua to have another faction now and start celebrating Kippur on the next day. So in order to make sure that Am Yisrael remains united, he told him, you must come to me on Yom Kippur according to your calculation with your money and your stick. Halach umsa'o Rabbi Akiva miyatzir. So he went, the Gemara is going to explain this line to me, that Rabbi Akiva went and found that the Yeshua was miyatzir. He was all depressed, because he was distraught because of what Rabban Gamliel was making him do. Amar lo, yesh li lilmod shekol ma she'asa Rabban Gamliel asui. Which means I could learn really and say that everything that Rabban Gamliel said is correct. Which means even though he decreed it on a day different than you, but whatever he said is good. Why? Shne'emar, which means God put the responsibility of establishing Mashiach Hodashim and the holidays in Beit Din's hands. Ben bizmanam, ben shelo bizmanam. Which means whether they're in the right time, whether they're not in the right time, in the mu'adot ela elu. Which means that's what you have. You have the ruling of the Beit Din, whether they're right or wrong, whether they made the holidays bizmanam or shalom bizmanam, tikru otam. Whatever they say is said. So therefore, Yehoshua, don't be despondent. So Rabban Gamliel said Kippur is that day. So that's Kippur. So don't have to worry about it. Even though you hold not like that, but since Rabban Gamliel is the posek over here, even though Yehoshua was the Av Beit Din, but Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi, and he was posek like he was, so therefore don't worry. Right, as she says, "Bikriat Beit Din Tela'o HaKatuf." Right, the pasuk puts the power on Beit Din. Balo etzler bidosa ben Orkinas. So now Rabbi Yehoshua, he comes to Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa was the other rabbi that also agreed with Rabbi Yehoshua. He actually said it, and Rabbi Yehoshua agreed with him. The reason the Maharsha says why Rabban Gamliel wasn't angry at Rabbi Dosa is either because he just said it, but he wasn't posek halacha. Rabbi Yehoshua was posek halacha, or because Rabbi Dosa was an old man, and therefore he didn't want to, you know, fight up against an old zakin. But Rabbi Yehoshua was the Abbe Din, therefore he wanted to put him in his place, so to speak. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yehoshua tells Rabbi Dosa, "In ba'in anu ladun ahar bet dino shel Rabban Gamliel." If we're going to start the second guess and question the psak of the Beit Din of Rabban Gamliel, Sirichim anu ladun ahar kol Beit Din u Beit Din she'amad mimot Moshe v'ad achshav. So now we're going to have to second guess every Beit Din from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu and all their rulings until now. Shene Emar, Vaya'al Moshe v'Aaron Nadav v'Aviyu v'Shiv'im mizikneh Yisrael. The Torah tells us that Moshe Aaron Nadav v'Aviyu and the 70 elders, they went up. Now the Mishnah asks, "V'lama lo netparishu shemotam shezekinim?" How come the Torah doesn't tell us the names of these 70 zekinim? Ela lelamed shekol shelosha u'shelosha she'amdu bet din al Yisrael harehu kebet dino shel Moshe. Which means any three rabbis that get together in bet din, we give them the status as the bet din of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, if somebody's going to come along and say, who says these three people are a big hakamim? So you'll come along and say, how do you know that they're not as big as the 70 zekinim that Moshe Rabbeinu had? Since the Torah didn't tell us their names, you'll never know. Mm-hmm. And therefore the Torah specifically did not tell us their names, so nobody can come along and say, this Beit Din is less than the Beit Din of Moshe. How do you know? The Beit Din of Moshe are anonymous. We don't know their names. Shifrim Zichnei Israel. To teach us what? That every Beit Din in every generation, they have the final say. They have the bottom line word. And then when Yeshua comes along and says, listen, we're going to start questioning Rabban Gamliel. If you question Rabban Gamliel's Beit Din, you have to start second guessing. Mm-hmm. Every Beit Din just does a Moshe Rabbeinu. Natal maklo uma'otav biyado ve'alach liyavne etzer Rabban Gamliel biyom shachal yom kippurim liyot b'hashpono. So he went. He took his stick, he took his money on Kippur, according to his calculation, and he brought it in front of Rabban Gamliel. Amad Rabban Gamliel v'neshako al rosho. So Rabban Gamliel stood up and he kissed him on his head. Amar lo bo b'shalom Rabbi v'talmidi. Rabbi b'chokma. You are my rabbi in wisdom. After all, Rabbi Yeshua was the Abedin v'talmidi, but you act like my student, shekibalta et devarai, that you accepted my words, you accepted my gezerah. The Mefarshim do point out, Stam over here, when it says, bo beshalom, even though we learned the Gemara Berachot, that when you're talking to the living, usually use the language leshalom, but the Maharsha points out, that's only when you use the lashon lech. Lech leshalom. That's what you're telling me. When you say bo, come, you can say bo beshalom. So there's no problem with that. Comes the Gemara and continues or begins. Tanya, we have a braita. Amar lehem Rabban Gamliel hakamim. Rabban Gamliel tells the hakamim. Now this is going back to the first machloket in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri and Rabban Gamliel regarding witnesses that saw the old moon in the morning and the new moon at night. Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri said, impossible. We know that there's 24 hours of invisibility between the old moon and the new moon, so there's no way they could have seen the old moon in the morning and the new moon at night. So comes Rabban Gamliel and says, Kak mekubberani mebet abi abba. I have a tradition from my grandfather. His grandfather was Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Pa'amim sheba ba'aruka u'pa'amim sheba b'ksara, which means sometimes the moon takes the long path and sometimes it takes the short path, which means that which we said on the previous daf, that there's 24 hours, that's not always. Sometimes the moon takes different paths, and when it takes a different path, it can even have a case where you can see the new moon in the morning and the old moon at night, and the new moon at night, and therefore the moon does not have a set cycle. The moon cycle changes, and because of that, you can have the situation that we have in the Mishnah. Therefore, we accept them. So, pa'amim ba baruchah. Sometimes it takes the long route, and sometimes it takes the
short
route. Comes the Gemara and says, that's Amar Rabbi Yohanan. What's the reason of the Bet Midrash of Rabbi? Tichtiv Asaya Reyach Lemoadim. God established the moon to make the holiday. Shemesh Yadah Mevo'o. The sun knows its path. Shemesh Hu Yadah Mevo'o. Yareyach Lo Yadah Mevo'o. But the moon does not know its path, which means the moon changes its course sometimes. And therefore, sometimes you have the 24 hours of invisibility, and sometimes you don't. And therefore, in this case, Omer Rabban Gamliel held that it was possible for the witness to see the old moon and the new moon, and therefore there was no problem. Other Rishonim learned this Gemara differently. Other Rishonim want to say that Rabban Gamliel accepted the witnesses because you pay no attention to what they said about the morning. The morning has no credence to this testimony. The main thing we want to get from them is what did they see at night? So when they come along and say, we saw at night the new moon, that's the main thing we accept. But they said the morning they saw the old moon, pay no attention to that. That has no bearings on anything that they're saying now. And this Gemara over here that says, Pa'amim Sheba Bikaruka, Pa'amim Sheba Bikatsara, they explain it's talking about a different, unrelated deen to the case of our Mishnah. Sometimes the cycle of the moon takes a long path, sometimes it takes a short path, but nothing to do with the 24 hours of invisibility. Stop. The reason why the Rabban Gamliel accepted the witness is because pay no attention to what they said in the regarding their morning testimony. In any event, the Gemara continues. Rabbi Chaya Chazya L'Sihara Dehavya Ka'eb B'Safra De'Esrim V'Tish'a. Rabbi Chaya saw the moon, the old moon, that was out on the 29th of the month. Now the case was over here, this was the month of Elul. He wanted to establish Elul on the 30th. meaning Rosh Chodesh Tishri, I'm sorry, on the 30th. He wanted to make Elul Chaser, like it is the majority of the time. Make Rosh Hashanah on the 30th. Why? Because that year, by making Rosh Hashanah on the 30th, it'll separate Kippur from Shabbat. Remember, we learned that the rabbis did not want Shabbat and Yom Kippur to fall back to back, either because of Yarka or because of Metayah. Because you're not able to bury the Metim, it's going to take 2 days because you cannot bury on Shabbat and Yom Kippur. So therefore, the Bichaya had an interest to make the Rosh Chodesh on the 30th. Now, what was he going to do? He was going to intimidate witnesses, which means witnesses that would have shown up on the 30th, he was going to tell them, you saw it, right? He was going to intimidate them to get a testimony at them. Like we learned, sometimes their betin, if they want to get to Rosh Chodesh on a certain day, can me'ayyimim. They're able to me'ayyim on the witnesses. But we also learned, that's only in the case where the old moon was not visible on the 29th. Because if the old moon was visible on the 29th, it's going to become a joke. Because the people are going to say, what is this over here? We saw the old moon on the 29th. Right before, you know, on that day. Now you're going to tell me on the 30th they saw the new moon? Can't be there. People know the rules. So therefore, when the Bichaya saw the old moon come out on the 29th, he was upset. So what did he do? Shakal kala. He picked up a clump of dirt, patakbe, and he threw it at the moon. Amar, he said to the moon, Ne'urta ba'ina ne'kiddushe bach. Tonight, we need to sanctify you and make Rosh Hashanah. Ve'at kaim tacha? And you're still here? Meaning, what are you doing here? We don't need you to be here now. Zil echsi. Go cover yourself. Meaning, get out of here. We don't need you to be here, moon. We need to make Rosh Chodesh tonight. We're not going to be able to intimidate the witnesses if you're here. Amar le Rabbi Rabbi Chaya. So Rabbi tells Rabbi Chaya, Zil entab. Go to a place called Intav and go make the Kiddush HaKodesh over there, Liyachat of the month. Why? Because in Intav, one of two things, one of two interpretations. Either over there the moon wasn't visible on the 29th. And therefore by going to sanctify it over there, it's not going to look like a a fraud, because the people in Intav didn't see the moon on the 29th, so you'll sanctify it. So at least over there, everybody will accept your ruling. Or, according to the interpretations of other Rishonim, this is talking about the times of the Romans, and the Romans made gezerot that you cannot sanctify the new moon in the regular Beit Din in Yerushalayim. So therefore they had to sneak to En Tav in order to sanctify the new moon. That's why I specifically told them, go to En Tav and you'll be able to sanctify the new moon over there. In any event, and he says, when you sanctify the new moon, send me a sign and say, David Melech Israel, Hai V'Kayam. Why? Because just like David, his kingdom, it grew and got big, became powerful. And that's the same thing like Am Yisrael. She obviously starts off small and they grow like the moon. So therefore the siman for the new moon would be what? Just give me a signal. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, and then I'll know already that you were successful in establishing the new month. Rashi says, Nimshad Kalibana. David Melech was compared to the moon. Shene'emar bo kis'o kashemesh nedi kayareyach yikon le'olam. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Nechadam Shekonim Baruch.
Amen.
Okay, so that's the way the Rechaya sanctified the month during that year. That was Rosh Hashanah. Tanu Lebanan. Pam akat nitkashiru shamayim ba'abim. One time, there was very cloudy night,
overcast.
And an image of the moon appeared on the 29th of the month. So the people thought that they saw the moon, therefore they wanted to establish Rosh Chodesh. And Beit Din wanted to establish it and make Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, according to some Mefarshim, this was talking about Mashma from Rashi, again Elul, and the subject was over here, Rosh Hashanah. Amar lehem Rabban Gamliel, kak mekubelani mebet Abi Abba. Again, I have a tradition from my grandfather, the Benu HaKadosh, en chedusha shelebana pechuta me'esrim v'teshra yom u'mehsa v'shne shelishi sha'a be'ayin gimal halakim. Which means I have a tradition that the cycle of the moon is not less than 29 and a half days, 2/3 of an hour, and 73 parts of an hour. Wow. And since the sighting of the last moon, it hasn't been this 29 and a half, 2/3 of an hour, and 73 parts. And therefore there's no way what they saw is considered a new moon. Which is they knew minimally the new moon is not born until this amount of time passes. 29 and a half days, that's 29 and 12 hours, and two-thirds of an hour, and 73 parts of an hour. And therefore, what you're seeing over there was not the moon, therefore we cannot establish Rosh Chodesh. And in order to solidify that, the Gemara says, "V'otu ayom meta imo shel ben Zuza." Ben Zuza's mother passed away. V'espida Rabban Gamliel espid gadol. Rabban Gamliel made a very long eulogy for her. Lo mepnei she'reuya lekach. Not because she was deserving of having such a long eulogy. Ela kedesh she'yedu ha'am she'lo kidshu betin et ha'chodesh. So they'll know that betin did not sanctify Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because on Rosh Chodesh, well, let's say for that matter, on Rosh Hashanah, if according to Rashi at least, it's asur to be maspid. It's asur to eulogize. And therefore, by making a long eulogy, everybody will know, well, after Rabbi's making a eulogy today, obviously, it's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Yom Tov. And therefore, you're allowed to eulogize. Now, the Mefarshim take Rashi to task. Why did Rashi have to learn the case you're talking about Rosh Hashanah? You could have learned the case about any month, because any Rosh Chodesh they're not allowed to eulogize. So therefore, that's Rashash's question. So some of the Mefarshim really want to answer that when Rashi says in his Lashon, She'en Maspidim Bi Yom Tov, Yom Tov means Rosh Chodesh. Because sometimes Rosh Chodesh is also called Yom Tov. So therefore, he wasn't referring to Rosh Hashanah, he just meant to any Rosh Chodesh, and therefore Rashi is agreeing to the consensus of the Rishonim that it was talking about a regular Rosh Chodesh. And that's why the Rabban Gamliel stretched out and elongated his eulogy, in order that the people will know that the Rosh Chodesh was not sanctified on that day. Comes the Gemara and continues from the story of the Mishnah. Halach Umsa'o Rabbi Akiva. Right? Rabbi Akiva went and saw him distraught. So the Gemara just wants to get the details of the story. Ibailu. Mi Miyatzir. Who was distraught? Rabbi Akiva Miyatzir or Rabbi Yeshua Miyatzir? Because from the language of the Mishnah, it's vague. It could mean either one. Because all it says is Halach Umsa'o Rabbi Akiva Miyatzir. So was Rabbi Akiva that found Rabbi Yeshua Miyatzir, or was Rabbi Akiva himself that was Miyatzir? Tashema. So come and listen. We'll bring it right. Detanya Halach Rabbi Akiva Umetza'o Rabbi Yeshua Kishehu Miyatzir. He went and he found Rabbi Yeshua when he was Miyatzir. Now, if it's not clear still to you, the bright text says Amar Lo. So he tells him, Rabbi Mipene Ma Ata Miyatzir. Rabbi, why are you so distraught? Amar lo Akiva. So you see, Rabbi Yeshua was the distraught one. Rabbi Akiva asked him, why are you distraught? And he answered him, Akiva. Ra'ui lo shiyipol limita yab chodesh ve'al yigzor alav gezerazu. I'd be better off if I had a decree on me to be bedridden for 12 months instead of having Rabban Gamliel make this decree on me that I have to go Mehalel Kippur that goes according to my Hashbon, which means the Bioshah was distraught because he's going to have to be Mehalel his Kippur. He said, I'd rather be in bed for 12 months sick than have to go do what Rabban Gamliel is putting me up to. Amar le Rabbi, so Rabbi Akiva tells Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi, Tarsheni lomar lefareka davar echad shelim matani. Please give me permission to repeat over something that you yourself taught us. Amar lo emor. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Bechavot, say it. Amar lo areo omer, atem. Now really the Torah three times says, Elem mo'adim kodesh ashir tekru otam. However, the word otam is written without a vav, so therefore we read it atem, that it is the betin that establishes the months. Atem, 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 three times. Gimel pa'amim, atem afilu shogegim, which means even if betin, let's say, made a mistake, which means they thought that it was supposed to be in ibur. They thought that Rosh Chodesh should be on the 31st. They made a mistake, it was supposed to be on the 30th. Atem afilu mezidim, which means even if they do it on purpose, so they have to go out of their way on purpose and they establish the Rosh Chodesh on the wrong day. Atem afilu mut'in, even if they are fooled, which means let's say false witnesses come and trick the Beit Din, it doesn't matter. The month is established, whether you're shogeg, whether you're a mezid, whether you're mut'eh, and therefore, Rabbi, they are considered, let's say, shogegin. Okay, let's say they made a mistake, okay, according to your understanding. However, whatever Beit Din says, it's accepted. And you now are going to follow your, not follow your day. You're going bimizid against your day to follow the other day. Atem afilu mizidim, which is even if you're a mizid going against your day to follow the Rabban Gamliel, you're also okay. Therefore, you have nothing to worry about. Bottom line, the rabbis established it. It's considered Kodesh. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Lashon hazeh amar lo. With the following words, Rabbi Yoshua told Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, nihamtani, nihamtani. You consoled me, you consoled me. The reason why I said you consoled me twice is you consoled me for what they did, and you consoled me for what I did, which what I'm going to do. Which is you consoled me what they did, atem afilu shogegim. She said, okay, they made a mistake, but you said it's okay. And you consoled me for my part, because I'm going to be a mizid. I'm going against my day to follow them. But you said even mizidim, they go against their day, and they follow the other day. It's also okay. So for nihamtani, nihamtani. Ba'lo etz Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkinas. So now Rabbi Yoshua goes in front of Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkinas. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Lama lo nitparesh shemotam shezekenim alalu. How come indeed the Torah did not tell us the names of the 70 zekenim of Moshe Rabbeinu's betin? It just says v'shivaim zekenim zeknei Yisrael. How come it doesn't tell us their names? Shelo yomar Adam. Ploni ke Moshe ve Aharon, ploni. Can a question? Shelo yomar Adam. A person should not say ploni ke Moshe ve Aharon. Well, you think this rabbi's like Moshe and Aharon? Is he great? Ploni ke Nadav Avihu, ploni ke Eldad Umedad. And therefore, once you don't know their names, so now nobody can come along and say, are they as great as who? You don't know who they were. They're anonymous. And therefore, every Beit Din is going to have now credibility. Mm-hmm. Nobody can start comparing and saying, oh, they're better, they're worse. You don't know who they were. The Torah went out of its way not to tell you who they were. You know that every Beit Din will have equal credibility. Look at the top Rashi in the first wide line. Shelo yomar Adam al Beit Din shebiyamav. V'chi peloni u'peloni kemoshe v'aharon sheshmalo achshav. Sheshmalo. Achshav shelo nitparshu. Now that the names are not explicit, Emor lo im eno ko Moshe v'Aaron, you're right, he might not be as great as Moshe v'Aaron, hareu kehad mishar zekenim. Maybe they're as great as some of the zekenim. She'en ka yodei amim, because you don't know who they are. Comes the Gemara and says, ve'omer, it says in the Pasuk, ve'yomer Shemuel el'am. It says, Shemuel comes and tells the nation, el'am Hashem, asher asa, I'm sorry, ve'yomer Shemuel el'am, comma. Shemuel tells the people, Hashem asher asat Moshe v'et Aaron, God that made Moshe v'et Aaron the leaders of Israel. Ve'omer, and the pasuk continues. This is the same context when Shemuel was talking to the people. Vayishlach Hashem et Yerubaal, and he also sent the leader called Yerubaal. Ve'et Bedan, the leader called Bedan. Ve'et Yiftach. Ve'et Shemuel. So therefore, Shemuel in one swoop includes Moshe, Aharon, Yerubaal, Bedan, Yiftach, and Shemuel. He mentions in one or two pesukim the six leaders of Am Yisrael. Now, who are these people? Yerubaal, Ze Gedon. Yerubaal was really Gedon. Was one of the shofetim, one of the judges. Ve'lama nekra shemo Yerubaal, she'asa meriba ima Baal, because he went to war against the avodah zarah called Baal. Yerubaal, Bedan, Ze Shimshon. Bedan is another name for Shimshon. Ve'lama nekra shemo Bedan, de'atem midan, because he came from the Shevet Dan. Yiftach kemashma'o. Yiftach is Yiftach. Ve'omer, and the pasuk says, Moshe ve'aharon bechohanav. So pasuk in Tehilim, Moshe ve'aharon in their leadership of Kohanim, of priests, u'Shmuel bekoreh shemo. That means we have another pasuk that compares Shemuel to Moshe and Aaron. Shakal, now. So therefore, let's review. So now we know Moshe and Aaron, we know they were great. And we know Shemuel is equal to Moshe and Aaron. So it comes out in the pasuk you have three greats and three, we'll call them lightweights. Mm. Which means Shimshon, Yiftach, and Gedon are not Moshe, Aaron, and Shemuel. But in the pasuk in Shemuel, it lists all the six leaders together. To teach you what? To teach you what? Shakal akatuv shelosha kale olam kishlosha hamure olam. Which means the pasuk puts on the scale the three light ones, the lightweights, of the world, which we call Shimshon, Yiftach, and Gedeon, with the three greats, with the three very significant ones, that's Moshe, Aaron, and we know Moshe is equal to Moshe and Aaron. You know, it's to teach you Yerubal bedoro ke Moshe bedoro, Bedan bedoro ke Aaron bedoro, Yiftach bedoro ke Shmuel bedoro. Lelamedcha shafinu kal shebekalin, even the most insignificant. Venitmana panas al sibur, and he was nominated the leader of the sibur. Arehu ke abir shebabirim. He's considered as the most distinguished and esteemed. Jeez, every generation has to accept the rabbis of its time. Ve'omer, and the pasuk says, Ubata el kohanim alviim velashofet asher yeh bayamim ahem. You have to go to the judges that will be in your times. So the Gemara asks, "What do you mean? You have to go to the judge in your times? So where are you going to go to a judge? It's not in your times. You're going to go back in history. What does that mean? Just every year, which means you go to the judge that's in your day. Which means you're not allowed to come along and say, ah, these judges are not like the other rabbis of the yesteryear, and therefore I'm not going to go to them. They're not on the same stature. No. Whoever judges in your time, that's the judge you have to go to. Look at Rashi. Hare limitcha katuf kan she'en lecha lebakesh ela shofet she'aya biyamecha. You can only go to the judge that's in your time. Ve'omer, and we have a pasuk in the Mishle or Kohelet. Al Tomar, don't say Mahaya Shayamim Arishonim Ayutovim Me'ele, which means the old days, the earlier days were better than these days. That Rashi gives us the end of the pasuk. Rashi says, look at the end of Rashi. Rashi quotes the end of the pasuk. Kilo mechokma shalta alze. Lefisha dorot ayutovim v'sadikim in aharonim. Don't say that what? That the earlier generations were wiser. Mm-hmm. And you say that's why the olden days were better than these days, because the leaders were better. Because you have to know, it's impossible for the later leaders to become like the earlier ones. Therefore, don't say that. Then we have to go to the rabbis that are in your time and listen to them. Comes the Gemara and says, Natal Maklo Ma'ota Biyado. So he took his stick and he took his money, Rabbi Yoshua, and he went to Rabban Gamliel. Tanu Rabbanan, Kevan Shira Oto. When Rabban Gamliel saw him, Amad Mikisov and Eshako Arosho. He stood up from his chair and he kissed him on his head. Amad Lo, Shalom Aleka Rabbi Vitalmidi. Rabbi Shilimatani Torah Berabim. You're my rabbi because you taught me Torah Berabim. Vitalmidi, Shani Gozer Aleka Gezera, Veata Mikayema Ketalmid. Which means you listen to my gezerot like a student would listen to his rabbi. Even though, again, the Yeshua was the Abedin, but still he humbled himself in front of the Nikri of Rabban Gamliel like a Talmid. Ashrei Ador, fortunate is the generation she'agidolim nishma'im neketanim, that the gedolim listen to the ones that are beneath them. Kal v'chomer, and from here we can learn a kal v'chomer. Ketanim the gedolim, that the ketanim should listen to the gedolim. So the Gemara says, kal v'chomer? Hayuvahu. What do you mean? You don't have to learn, make a kal v'chomer. It's an obligation. Which means I don't need a kal v'chomer to teach me that the younger ones should listen to the older ones. That's a commandment. It's an obligation. The Gemara says, Ela mitok shagedolim nishma'im neketanim. Since the gedolim listen to the ketanim, nosim ketanim kal v'chomer be'atzmam. The ketanim themselves, they make a kal v'chomer and they say, if the older, if the greater are listening to the younger and the not so great, all the more so we should listen to our elders, which means for sure they have an obligation. But it's an inspiration to the youth when they see the older following the younger, the gedolim, or the greater following the less greater. So the more so they'll make a kal v'chomer and say, if they do that, then certainly we have to follow the gedolim as well. Adran alat im enan makirim. And now we begin the third perek, Bezat Hashem. And the Mishnah begins. Ra'uhu bet din v'chod Yisrael. That's actually the first case of the Mishnah. Where let's say Bet Din and Klal Yisrael saw the new moon on the 30th. Now the Gemara will explain, what do you need a case where Bet Din and Klal Yisrael saw it? Really all you need is two witnesses. The Gemara is going to explain what is exactly the ramification of a case where all the Beit Din and all Klal Yisrael saw the moon on the 30th. Nechkeru ha'edim. Or you have another case, a second case, that the witnesses that came on the 30th, let's say, were being interrogated. Common denominator in both cases, v'lo yispiku lomar mikudash ad shehashecha. But by the time the interrogations finished, they weren't able to say mikudash on day 30. Now already it became 31.
Oh,
so the Gemara says, areze mi'ubad. So now it's mi'ubad, it's considered leaped, and therefore it's a full month, and therefore you do it on the 31st. The Gemara will explain what exactly the hiddush is. Second case in the Mishnah. Ra'uhu Beit Din Bilvad. Let's say the Beit Din are the only ones that saw the new moon. Now, in order to have a new moon, you have to have witnesses. Here, the Beit Din themselves saw the moon. So you need witnesses to testify in front of the Beit Din. So what do you do in this case? So it says, Ya'amdu Shenayim V'yayidu Bifneim V'yomru Mikudash Mikudash. So let two members of the Beit Din turn themselves into witnesses, let them testify in front of their friends that they saw the new moon, and the rest of the Beit Din will say, Mekudash, Mekudash. Next case. Da'u Shilosha. Let's say you had three people. V'hen Beit Din. Well now, if you're going to take two witnesses, which you need the minimum two, and testify in front of one, well, one is able to hear the testimony, but the same mikudash that she holds, you need three judges. So what are you going to do in this case over here? So it says, La'u shelosha ve'en betin ya'amdu ha'shenayim v'yoshivu mechavrehem etzel ha'yachid v'ya'idu b'fneim v'yumru mikudash mikudash. Which means, let two of the three be witnesses, let the one take two more judges off the bench, now to make a betin of three, and they be able to say mikudash mikudash she'ena yachid ne'eman al yedei atzmo, because an individual is not ne'eman on his own to make the chodesh mikudash. Look at Rashi says she'ena yachid ne'eman lomar mikudash b'fnei atzmo. Smart from Rashi that you only don't trust the one to make mikudash, but to hear the testimony we let him. But for the actual sanctification, that's why you have to bring some of his friends, meaning two other judges, to him. So that's the last case of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to analyze all these cases. The Gemara begins. Which means, the first case you told me Beit Din saw it and all Yisrael. What do you got to tell me all Yisrael? It's enough that once all Beit Din saw it, so they saw the moon, so therefore let them do this, take their two witnesses, let them testify in front of the remainders, which is, what are you telling me a case? You have Beit Din plus all Klal Yisrael, and then you get enough time to sanctify, so the Hiddush is what? That you push it, Rosh Chodesh, to the next day. So what's the point of telling me Kol Yisrael? Now she says, Namali Limiti Kol Yisrael, Hare Ra'u Beit Din. Beit Din saw, that's enough, what do you need Kol Yisrael? You need that case. You know why? Sal kadada kamina hoil v'ra'u Beit Din v'chol Yisrael efarsema la v'lo le'ibruha kamashma'lan. Which we learned this already. Which means that since all Klai Yisrael saw it on the 30th day, you might have thought, don't leap it. Don't make the Chodesh on the next month. Even though there wasn't enough time, let's say, to sanctify it. But maybe since all Klai Yisrael saw it, therefore it's publicized that really is day 30, the Rosh Chodesh, I would have thought maybe you don't make it in Ibur. Kamash Malan, even if all Klai Yisrael saw it. Even though it's publicized that it should be on day 30, if they didn't get enough time to sanctify it on day 30, still you push it off to 31. So therefore there's a Hiddush in Kol Yisrael. Right? That even though it's Kol Yisrael, and it's Pirsum, still push it off to the next day. Comes the Gemara and says, hold it. V'chevan detana dera'u Beit Din v'chol Yisrael nechkeru ha'edim lamali. What do you have to give me the case of nechkeru ha'edim, which means just, originally we thought that this is all one case. We thought that the case is la'u Beit Din plus all Yisrael, and they interrogated them in the same case. And we didn't get enough time to interrogate them, and it already became the next night. Nihkiru Aydim, if all Klai Yisrael saw it, what do you got a Nihkiru Aydim? It's obvious that it's, which means if you get two witnesses, okay, then you already have the Hakiroto. But if all Klai Yisrael sees the moon, finish, it's automatic. What do you have to give me a case where all Klai Yisrael saw, and still you have to go through the Hakirot? It's automatic. So the Gemara says, you're reading the Mishnah wrong. Hachi kaman iname nihkiru aidim v'lo espiku loman mekudash ad shehashecha hareze mi'ubar. It's two cases. Right, it's the case of Beit Din and everybody saw, comma, or regular case where witnesses come and you interrogated them, but you couldn't finish the interrogation until after hashecha. So then you push it to the next day. So you have two cases of where you push it to the next day. Either when Beit Din or Kol Yisrael saw it, and for some reason they couldn't say Mikudash on that day, or the interrogation took long, and therefore you couldn't sanctify it on that day. So in both cases, you push it to the next day. So there's two cases in the Mishnah. Ra'u Beit Din v'Kol Yisrael, comma, or Nihkiru Aidi v'lo Espiku, when there was not enough time to do it in that day, you do it l'mahar. So the Gemara then says, "V'chem and detana ad shachashecha, hareze me'ubar." If you're telling me the first case where all Yisrael saw it and they weren't able to finish the proceedings until it got dark, which they came right before sunset, they weren't able to finish before it got dark, and if you tell me you push it to the next day, lama li limitni hakirat ta'idim klal. What are you guys giving me the second case of Hakirat Ta'idim? Basically, you're teaching me the same Hiddush twice. The bottom line, if you can't finish the job before nightfall, so you push it to the next day. Mm-hmm. So what do you got to give me two cases? A case of all Yisrael and Beit Din, you push it to the next day. Or Hakirat Ta'idim wasn't complete, push it to the next day. What do you need two cases teaching me the same point that if you can't finish the job, you push it to the next day? So the Gemara says, no, it's Tariq. Because I would have thought like this. Tehve hakirat edim ketchilat din umekudash mekudash kigmar din velikdeshe belelia midi da'ava adine mamunot. We have a rule by monetary cases. We know Beit Din sits during the day. But by monetary cases, the law is like this. So long as they start the proceedings in the day, they're able to finish the proceedings at night. So I would have said like this. Maybe Hakirat Ta'edim is considered the beginning of judgment, because you're interrogating them. And therefore I would say that even if you didn't finish the judgment, you can continue it to the night, and say Mikudash, Mikudash, and it'll go back to the previous day. Just like by Dinei Mamonot, you're able to continue the day proceedings at night. So I'll say by Kiddush HaChodesh, since you started the Hakira is considered Tehilat Din, the beginning of the proceedings. Therefore, since you started by day, I'll say you can continue at night, and you can say Mikudash Mikudash at night, and therefore I'll tell you that Rosh Chodesh really will be on the previous day, day 30. Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah that says Dine Mamonot Danim Bayom Vegumrim Balaila. So you could start the proceedings by day and you could finish at night. So I would say maybe the same to make a Kedusha or Mekadishin Belelia. Kamashmalan that you can't. Kamashman that even though the Hakira started by day, bottom line, if you didn't finish by saying Mekudash in the day, it's pushed off to the next day. Rosh Chodesh is on the 31st. So that's the Hiddush of the case of Nihkiru. Because if it didn't tell me the case of Nihkiru, I might have made a mistake in the Psak. I would have said that if Nihkiru Aydin, so long as you started in the 30th, even though you didn't finish it, but it's considered Tehilat Din, if we can finish it at night, like the name Amoron, it's going to be considered Rosh Chodesh on the 30th. Kabash Malan, no. It doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says, who said? Maybe it does work that way. But you just tell me that's the Hiddush of the Mishnah. Who told you to learn the Mishnah like that? Who told you that the Hiddush of the Mishnah is that Kiddush HaChodesh is not like Dinei Mamonot? Maybe it is like Dinei Mamonot. Amar kera ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat Elohei Yaakov. The Torah that talks about the sanctification of the month says ki chok li Yisrael hu. Now it refers to the final judgment when they decide Beit Din which day the month is going to be. The Pasuk calls it a chok. What's the chok? Bottom line. Ki chok li Yisrael hu. Mishpat Elohei Yaakov. Now, Mishpat is the terminology used in the proceedings. Mm-hmm. So there's Chok, that's the final judgment, and there's Mishpat. Mm-hmm. So the Pasuk juxtaposes the Chok to the Mishpat. And the Gemara says, Emat Avi Chok, when is Chok applicable? Begmardin.
It's a conclusion.
Right? At the conclusion, when you finally give the Psak. Mm-hmm. Vekakari Le Rahmanam Mishpat. But the Pasuk calls the Chok the mishpat, the actual judging process. Ma mishpat bayom, apakaname bayom. So we have a hadush. Just like mishpat is done in the day, which is the proceedings begin in the day, so to the hawk, the conclusion has to be done in the day as well. So therefore, kiddush hadush is different. That the chok and the mishpat have to be done by day, but by mamonot, the judgment can be done in the day, and the gemar din can be done at night. Comes the gemara continues. Ra'u bet din. Right, let's say the bet din saw the new moon. So what do we say? Ya'amdu shenayim v'ya'idu b'fnehem. So let two of the rabbis of the bet din get up, turn around, and testify in front of the rest of the bet din. Ve'amai. For why? Lo te'esh shemi'a gedola meri'ya, which means comes out, they all saw it. So you're making now, people that saw everything, you're seeing is not enough. It's not going to be considered valid till you hear it from two. So you're making hearing better than seeing? Doesn't make any sense. Which means all the betting saw the moon with their eyes. That's not testimony. Until when? When two people stand in front of the judge and say, we saw it. They have to hear it from somebody else. So you're making shimya better than riya? Doesn't make sense. Gemara says, Amar Bizera, Kegon Shira'uhu Balayla, where they saw the moon at night. At night they can't testify. So therefore at night they all saw it. Now, if they would have seen it in the day, you're right. Which means, how can they see it in the day? Meaning, let's say, in the morning, right, you know, when the moon came out, they were able to see the new moon, whatever it is. Or before sunset, you're able to see it. You don't need somebody to come testify. They're witnesses themselves. They saw it, it's done. The riyah is good. But they saw it at night. At night, you can't be a witness. There's no betin at night. Therefore, the next day now, they didn't say anything the next day. So you have to have two witnesses that come in front of them and say, oh, we saw it last night. In that case, you need the shimi'ah, we saw it last night, because of the bottom line, during the day, they didn't say anything. So therefore, they need testimony. At night, when they saw it, if it was, they cannot testify, they're not considered witnesses at night. Therefore, they need the witnesses to come by the day. Comes the... If they would have seen it before the night, you're right, you don't need this whole business of having two witnesses. Of course he has better. But here they saw it at night. So therefore there cannot be witnesses at night. Doesn't mean anything. So now it comes the next day. Comes the next day. Okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What? There's no moon now. There's no moon in the day. Parah continues. Ra'u shelosha. Let's say three people saw the moon. Vehen beddin. Okay, and they are the beddin. Yeah, again, same case. Ya'amdu shenayim. Let two out of the three get up. The yeshivu mechavrehem etzel yachid, and now they can testify in front of the one, but the one has to bring two rabbis off the bench. So now you have two testifying in front of three. Amai, same question. Again, if the three bet din rabbis saw it, so they saw it. What do they got? You're making hearing it better than seeing it. So they go. So you'll tell me, oh, the case is talking about same case where they saw it at night. I knew. So that's the same case as the last case. So you're telling me the two same cases, whether it was the whole bet din saw it at night. So let two testify in front of the rest, or three saw it, let two testify in front of the rest. It's the same point. By the way, when you see it at night, you need a testimony during the day. What's the hadush? The hadush in the second case is that one witness, or one judge, is not ne'eman alone. Because normally when it comes to dinei mamonot, if you have one expert judge, he's good to give a ruling on dinei mamonot. Kamasha, when it comes to Edut HaChodesh, even one expert judge is not enough. You have to have at least three. Why? Sal kadata chamina. Ho'il. What's the verb? Ho'il v'tanya. Since we have a braita, dinem amonot b'shlosha, that normally dinem amonot, monetary cases are judged in front of three. Bimayam u'mechel rabim. But if he's an expert accepted by the rabbim, dan afidu biyachid, he can judge even alone. Hakadame nikdeshe biyachidi, that why he can judge it alone. Kamashmalan, that he can't. So the Gemara says, who said, who says, maybe he can judge it alone. Maybe Edut HaChodesh is like Dinei Mamurot. Gemara answers, En Nechamu Mechayel Rabbim B'Yisrael Yoter M'Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no bigger expert than Moshe Rabbeinu. V'Ka'amar Le'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and God tells Moshe, Adeika Aharon Ba'adach, until you have Aharon with you, Dichtiv, Vayomer Hashem in Moshe ve'el Aharon be'eres Mitzrayim le'mor ha'chodesh hazeh lachem, which means you need at least Moshe and Aharon. So how do you know three? So Tosfot comes along and says, Ba'am Tosfot ve'en bedin shakul mosifin alein od echad, which means we know you can never have an even number betin. En bedin shakul, you always have to have an odd number in order that they won't have a split judgment. So therefore, Moshe and Aharon is as if the Torah is saying three. Moshe and Aharon, if take another one as the third one, so en bedin shakul. So that's how you know you need three. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mumchel Rabbim, so you see by Kiddush HaOlam, it's not enough. That's why you need the second case of the Mishnah to tell us that in the case where three saw and they were part of a Beit Din, two cannot testify. Two cannot testify in front of the one. Ela, the one has to take two more in order to have a Beit Din of three. Just one note. The grandfather of Rabban Gamliel was not Rabbi. The grandfather of Rabban was Rabban Gamliel Zaken, and actually the grandson of Rabban Gamliel was Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So when he said in that Gemara above, at the right in the beginning of the Gemara, when it said, Kach mekubedani mebet abi abba, so therefore that's really referring to Rabban Gamliel as Zaken. And then later when the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, my tama debe Rabbi, so someone who changes, because what does Rabbi have to do with anything? So they want to change my tama to Rabban Gamliel. And therefore they bring, they change it to Rabban Gamliel because it's referring to him. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. Amen.